And welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. My name's Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
And class is now in session. We have another guest with us today, Rachel Samples. Can you please introduce yourself to all of our listeners? Tell everyone what you're all about.
Love it. Hey, everybody. I'm Rachel. My pronouns are she, her. I am based in LA, and I am a creator, comedian, trying to make it all happen type person.
Oh, yeah. How about a zodiac sign?
Oh, and I am an Aquarius, which honestly, the fact that I just left it out, I feel like it's so classic Aquarius. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like, just don't put me in that box. Like, online presence, I wouldn't have guessed Aquarius. So that's so interesting.
What was the guess?
A fire sign, I was going to guess for sure.
Ooh. Oh, I think I do have an Aries moon. There's something.
I have an Aries moon. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. We're funny bitches for sure.
So funny story for you, and hopefully this is only embarrassing for me, but I found your account from one of my favorite, you made one of my favorite videos that the internet has ever had in existence where it, and this is like years ago, like pandemic probably, where it was the reversible jacket.
Michelle
point
Brandt.
Of view, you're showing Michelle Brandt your reversible jacket, and then the sound is like, turn it inside out so I can see
ya.
So I sent that video to every single person I know because I was like, this is absolute gold. And then one of my friends sent it back and was like, I went to college with her. And I was like, wait, are you being for real? And you'll have to fact check me here because I feel like I maybe know some tea, although it feels like fun, really fun tea. She said that you were president out as a lesbian or gay, at least as a sorority president dating another sorority president. Is this a true fact?
The T is so close. I was never president.
Okay.
She was president and I was like social chair. I did have a position. That T is so close to fully true, but I cannot claim the president.
You were the people's president.
Yeah.
As the social chair.
I try. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
still so cool. And you were both out completely?
Well, it's a journey. That's a journey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because I'm picturing something like progressive at the school where it's like, look at us just having these like presidents that are lesbian. Like, I'm so about this.
So I was in Theta, which actually has the reputation of actually having a ton of like queer and gay girls come out of it. Whether we figured it out while we were in school or after, everyone's just kind of laid back and funny and chill. I guess that was just like our vibe. But yes, and then my girlfriend at that time was in like a very like, if you pictured a sorority, that was Kappa. It was like that was that sorority.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll let you go in order. I just was like very excited to be like, before you think this is really random, I like actually know a lot about Q's life. I visited once. It was the craziest weekend ever.
Yeah.
Fun as shit though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm happy to hear you had a good time. But yeah, definitely a school where like Greek life was like, I guess like to me, in my mind, I think like a school in the South is like Greek life times 80. Like that's really just like heteronormative, strict, huge. Like that's your life, all consuming. I think Syracuse was like adjacent to that, not as intense, but definitely like I try to think of, I know so many people both from fraternities and sororities now that went to Syracuse that came out after school. It's just easier.
Fun.
You know, just behind the scenes stuff was definitely happening, but like not loud and proud. And like the way you just painted it was like as if the two of us were like on a poster, like, you know, like
that's how it was painted to me. I was like, wow, that's so empowering to hear about. Cause like my sorority experience was not like the most ever. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
I kind of like her spin to it though. I'm into it.
Yeah. It sounds like a rom-com for sure.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of queer journey, can you tell us about yours? And we'd love to hear about the whole sorority aspect as well.
For
if that's like big
but wherever it began.
Well, okay. I was born on January 26th, 1992, Aquarius. I was definitely a tomboy growing up, played a lot of sports. This is not new to the narrative.
Which sports?
Basketball, softball.
Okay, so just like quintessential gay sports.
League of Their Own, was my favorite movie. But again, no inkling, anything like that. Also a huge background to this is I went to the same school, kindergarten through 12th grade. It was a Catholic private school. And after third grade, it's all girls. So it's like all girls fourth through senior year, which again is one of those things in life where I look back and I'm like, I know a handful of girls from high school now that like were so obviously just like, get me out of here, I'm gay. But yeah, it's just funny to reflect on now. But I always was in high school, romantic wise, I always had to date the most athletic masculine man I could find. Had to be top tier athlete, had to
jock, I think, couple
over index in the macho-ness to make up for me skewing masculine energy vibes. But going into college, I was very much not committed really to finding a boyfriend or anything like that, sort of a dance floor makeout gal, I'm going to go back with my girls. I'm never fully in anything, et cetera. And it was, I feel like I'm kind of a late bloomer. So it was junior year of college. I had a boyfriend at the time. I'm so dismissive of it now. I'm I guess I was a boyfriend. I don't know.
Whatever. It was just really serious then. It didn't count.
He was
but who cares?
Consistently around. Yeah, it was so my junior year, it was my plans to go abroad. I live in LA now, but Syracuse does a LA semester, which has its pros and cons. I would say I think you should see the world and be in another country with different languages, but it's set up. So it's you go to class, you go to an internship, you could live out here, try to start your life out here. So my eyes were eye on the prize for that. And ended up being really competitive to go that spring semester. And I had gotten written up for having alcohol in my room freshman year. And they're like, you know what? This is on your record, so you can't go. So I was like, oh my God.
How dare you be a freshman in college who has alcohol in their presence? How dare you?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I go to jail? I should go to jail. So I was like my whole agenda internally was just so off. I that was my game plan. So junior year fall, I'm still at campus, and my best friend at the time, who we had lived together freshman year, sophomore year, we had kind of gone through this evolution. Now that I can look back and it's so obvious that I definitely had feelings there, but there's this evolution of me being really pissed and upset if she had a date and dumb frat guys in the mix, you know what I mean? I just was why am I so upset all the time?
Yeah,
I'm so upset. So I was upset, we kind of took some distance, and then it was that fall after me getting that news, we were hanging out, and it was a night where it was just honestly smoked, was pretty high, and it just was a gush of feelings and a first kiss, and it was whoa,
wow.
Is this gonna wreck this friendship? Ugh. What happens tomorrow morning? What are we doing? And then it just sort of slowly evolved from there. It was oh, these feelings are still here and we don't know what to do. At the time, she was president of her sorority, both in very heteronormative environments at school. So we just kind of did the secret, this super exhausting, toxic secret thing for a while. And it wasn't until coming back senior year that we finally were fuck it. But it was a year of just exhausted all the time, different identities, that kind of stuff.
That sounds so tiring. That's so much of your energy.
For sure. Oh, codes, why were you there with her? Oh no, it was a shortcut. Just things like that. But then it also, I think I was better at being a sleuth. I'm not very, I'm not naturally good at sneaky. I'm very obvious, and I would sneak into her sorority house. There was a back stairwell like I literally felt like I was like a 1940s detective, like the Grinch, like kind of like like up the back stairs.
This like rom-com writes itself, yeah, though. Like sneaking I'm into so the into sorority it. House. Yeah. Where is this novel? Like I want to read that. Oh my god.
Yeah, maybe we should pen that. But yeah, I used to like sneak up there. Like how did like to think that people didn't assume that is just wild. But we tried to play it up. We tried to play it off.
Yeah, and like, the way you were networking. Best friends and could have just had a sleepover and they wouldn't have suspected anything.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, let's play that up. And if, like, if I go over there, then, like, optic-wise, then I would definitely need to bring my other buddy, like, a guy friend to a dance or, like, or to a date night or so, you know what I mean? Like, would have to, like, quickly, like, maneuver pieces. It was like, mentally annoying, draining, etc.
Yeah. How did the rest of the community take it once you were finally ready to be open about the secret relationship?
It was like a slow, I would say like a slow rollout to like very close friends. And actually it was helpful that a close friend of mine was sort of going through the same experience. So I remember she was really upset one night and I had kind of assumed that something was going on between her and this other girl. And she was like, get out of my room. You won't understand. And I literally was like, open the door. I'm going to curse.
But yeah, like, you can curse.
I understand. Open the door. And the two of us just sat. It felt like an indie movie. Like two people just sitting side by side, like back on the door to the bedroom, like arms crossed. And I was like, well, do you want to say anything? You want to go first or I'll go first? And then we just like gush. So it was like nice to have like a friend literally going through the same exact chapter. And all of our friends, like on both sides, I would say for her, like she had like a different group that was very just like, again, I think within like the backdrop of a sorority that felt super like straight and like just like the look, like got to keep up the aesthetic essentially. Her friends were very supportive of it and very kind to me. And on my side, I mean, the most shit we got was from dudes who really weren't our close friends. Like that's what that it was getting over that. And I think just feeling like your life wasn't private or feeling like you were atypical, that was a good one. But all friends were receptive. It just took a while and a lot of friends were like, why didn't you feel like you could tell us, like whatever. It's like, I don't know what's happening. That's know. You know what I mean, like. And then it's a weird journey for, you know, a queer person to come out with a significant other versus as an individual. So there's layers of like, my lesbian experience is tied to her. So I don't know if this is fully where I am or if it's because of her, like all of that. So it feels like you're keeping something from your close friends, but you're also like, I'm updating you in real time because I don't really know what's happening here.
Yeah. So you had no like true inkling until that moment that you kissed. Was that like a holy shit moment for you, or do you think you kind of had like little queer awakenings over time and just kind of like brushed them off or downplayed them to yourself, or like how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think you beautifully just put it, of little queer awakenings that you just kind of like dust off. Like I remember like going overboard for like a birthday card and stuff, like just like ways that I could show up. I like showed up way too hard, like more than a normal like best friend would do. And then I would, and then I felt like that anger and resentment if she went on like dates or was hanging out with like, you know, frat dudes or whatever. I just was like very upset. I'm not a jealous person, but I just was like, and it was a weird thing again to like, I always say this, like, and maybe this is like a therapy saying, but I always like being able to see over the fence. Like you're able to step out of a situation and kind of look over the fence and see what the player, like who's who and what's going on. And it was weird to have that feeling. Like I was trying to look over the fence, but I just could not, I did not have the tools. I did not understand, but I just remember struggling to try to get over.
So the sorority president is your ex-girlfriend. So
yes,
what happened after senior year? You're out. Okay. What happens next?
What happens next? Okay. So I will give credit where credit is due. So she is from LA. So that actually opened up a lot of just opportunity for me to feel like I could come out here and get settled. So like staying with her family and having sort of like a soft landing and all of that was amazing. So nice. We were together junior year, 2 years, and then 2 years, 2 years in real world. So 4 years ago. But like we were just like figuring out what we wanted to do career wise, all of that. And it kind of got to this point where I could feel a distance between us. And again, it's like one of those woulda, shoulda, coulda. I'm like, I really woulda, shoulda, coulda been in therapy at that time. But like, I just remember we kind of got to this point where it was like, what are we doing? Like, it just felt like a disconnect. And I could honestly feel like she was going in this direction of probably wanting to date men and like go in that sort of lifestyle. And we just were like, this isn't working anymore. And it was easily just a very, very messy breakup because we were so integrated, friend group, everything. It was a doozy. And also me, that was like my first like real, real relationship. So I was like, how does one behave when you go through a breakup? Oh, how about if you just shove your feelings down and you can still hang out for like a group hang and like be totally cool and like go on dates immediately. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and you're in LA, so you're like watching The L Word and you're like, this is my life.
Yeah. So I'm like, let me just suppress and get out there again. But yeah, so that was kind of a doozy. But in that window was also, I think, my personal wake up of like, I remember going on a date with one guy. Just, I was like, do I still have it in me?
Yeah.
You know, you just do a little shoulder shimmy and you're like, I can do it. And then I'm just like, I remember we smooched and I was like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I was like, I really have to scram out of this date. So that quickly I was like, okay, I'm going to focus on just women, like understanding who I am in like a lesbian dynamic, in a lesbian dating dynamic. I've only ever known just a relationship mode with one person. In true lesbian fashion, I went on one date and like saw that girl for a year.
Of course,
she was great, kind of in a place of like definitely gay but like not really proud and out about it. I don't know, our energies were very similar. She was like another sporty girl, really wonderful, but again, that was one of those where I'm like, did we need to date? I think we could have just figured out like a hookup healthy dynamic there,
right?
And then just to continue with the tea, after her, I rekindled. I've dated two girls in my sorority.
Love that.
Okay.
Two girls from my sorority. Yes. So
graduation.
So Syracuse, number one, came out. And then I had, and then I dated a girl from Hinge, or maybe it was Bumble. I want to give credit where credit is due for the dating app. I think it was Bumble. and then, like, re-hung out with a girl from my sorority who I've always been friendly with, but just, again, like, I just don't, it took, like, a friend's B-day weekend away to be like, okay, what's going on here? Like, what's the vibe? We, like, hooked up for a little bit, and then after that, I met, rekindled again with another girl from my sorority, which as I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, we've grown and come a long way. I think it was just easy. Like, it's just so community, like a lot of Syracuse people, just being in LA, re-meeting people or people growing up some more and knowing themselves better. I don't know. But then,
yeah, it's like a built-in
tight community,
common ground too.
Yeah.
It's easier to connect.
Yes. Right. It's somebody who already knows me, who knows my past and everything like that. So yeah. So then we dated for 2 years, and then coming out like 2021-ish, we broke up, and that was like the healthiest. That was like night and day. That was like a healthy, very healthy breakup. It was like,
love it.
It's how they write it in the books. Like just like amicable communication on point. Like, we're going to take a break and not speak. Cool. We're done. Appreciate you as a human. Respect. Like, it was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I made a commitment to myself. I was like, for a year, totally single. not dating, single, like me, myself, and I time, chill with friends. That's it. And it was great. It was really, really great.
Yeah.
And then that's what led me to my girlfriend, Allie. She actually came out of the blue. She slid into my DMs, which I joke about is like, if these videos were worth anything, it was worth, you know, like getting that attention and that kind of thing.
True, though.
So she just reached out and I kind of like acknowledged her like comment. It was like liking something, whatever. And I was like, okay. And then she followed up and was like, hey, if you're around, would love to get a coffee or a drink. If not, I'll slide on out of here. And I just loved how assertive, clear, for my dumb brain to understand what's going on here. And we got a drink, and the rest is history. We've been together for a little over 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just retroactively going back to everything with the sorority president ex, I did pull some questions for you from some past episodes we had. And one was actually, how do you navigate being in the same friend group after a breakup? And you were kind of talking about that. So wondering how that whole process went, because I haven't really had that experience as much.
Yeah. It's a time where you really see your like true friends shine, and I don't mean that in a they picked my side kind of way. It's them being fair to both of you. My close friend Katie was really stellar about that. She was really close with both of us, and there was this effort to sort of try to like still be at the same big group gatherings and try to do that in a healthy way, and it was so clear that it was not in a healthy way. And she came over, and I think she had the same conversation with both of us, but she came over and like sat me down and was just like, hey, this isn't healthy for you, for either of you. I can't watch this. You can't keep on doing this dance of thinking you could do that. I need you to not communicate at all. Like, you need to go cold turkey. It's for the best. Delete number, delete social media, like just clear it out and let's go from there. She was like, just fully showed up for both of us. And I just appreciate that so much. So I feel like the biggest way to navigate that is to not put unrealistic expectations on your close friends and community. Know that it's your thing, not their thing. Like, you can control what you're in control of. And just, I wish I said no more at that time. Like, no, thank you. I don't need to put myself in that situation. I don't need to go to that. Like, so many of those I could have sat out, and like pure chaos would have never existed, you know?
Right. When you're young, FOMO is such a thing though. And you're like, I can't miss anything. Yo. And like, we're such a YOLO generation. It's like, if you miss out, you're like not living. And so I get it. I don't think we're like that anymore as we like are in our 30s now.
Right. You're like, oh, I got an excuse to say no. Amazing.
I have like thrill of missing out now. Like, oh, it's happening and I'm home.
You should make that. Make that your acronym. What is it? Yeah, THROMO? I love that.
Well, I'm sure you don't want to talk about your ex the whole episode. So going back to you, since you said you were a tomboy growing up, do you feel like you still identify as a tomboy?
For sure.
I feel like looking at you, if I was going to describe your style and tell me if you agree, I feel like you're like lesbian clean girl aesthetic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would take that. Do you think the clean lesbian clean girl aesthetic like wears hats and stuff? I often wear hats. She could.
What kind of a hat? Like a baseball cap? Like a beanie?
Like a dad trucker hat. I wear a lot.
That definitely is like, like a gayer version of that, I think. I'm getting like, I don't know if it's from the outfit, like the glasses, I'm getting like a light academia vibe from you, but I feel like with like a baseball cap that would totally like dyke it up. So
yeah. I mean, like, I have brown trousers on, I have like these like high top like look at my socks. Look at my sock length. Come on. Okay.
Yeah, this is the grown-up baby soft butch who has to have an adult job now, and like they're I need to clean up my look, but like I still want to be like casual and like look good and feel comfortable kind of vibe.
I like an oversized like sweater, but there's probably a sneaker or a maybe a loafer if the day is right, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel like a lot of people can clock you as queer, or do you feel like you have some like femme invisibility?
Do you think you're femme? Because I don't know where to put you on that scale.
Well, so I thought I could maybe skew more feminine, but I think I'm getting clocked more and more as gay, which I'm like, okay, this accelerates things and makes it easier for me. But I actually, so Al and I were just in Mexico for a wedding at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the charm of Mexico is like just getting offered like drugs from strangers and things like that. Like, I'm like, I'm okay. And so the bathroom attendant there, there's a beautiful, it felt like a very like posh restaurant. And like went to the bathroom and there was a guy standing there. And I thought he was just like a bathroom attendant to give you like paper towels. And he like looked at me and was like, cocaine, Molly, Adderall, like went through this list. And then he like paused, tilted his head, looked up and down, or pussy, like offered me. Like he just really looked up and he's like, coke, Molly, marijuana, or pussy. And I was like,
that's my drug of choice for
like,
sure.
In my head, I was like, thank you. Second, I was like, can you run through the list again? I didn't hear the whole thing. I was just like,
offering. Thank you so much for offering.
Yeah, that bathroom attendant just clocked me. I was like, wow.
I love Got that. He knows his lesbian culture.
Yeah, his gaydar was high. I was like, wow, he knew.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely hilarious. What do you think are the things that are like tipping the scale? Like, is it a backwards hat or like what's the giveaways?
I'm like usually like a t-shirt gal. My nails are always this length. I think it really is the hat too. And I think just energy wise, I love hanging out with guys and like, just, I think it's just an energy thing, you know,
they're feeling the vibe.
Well, I know, but I don't know how like the straight world always perceives, like, I don't think the straight people have like great gaydar. So when people make it you have to make it so obvious to them, I feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially guys will clock it as girl who played sports in high school and is so chill and likes what I like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did anyone ever like suss it out on you before you fully came to terms with your queerness? Was there anyone that like thought you were gay, or like comments or like things that people did in your youth or in college before you came out that you were like, they knew before I knew?
I think there were some chirps, but I think I could always play it off as like a sporty thing. Also, just for anyone listening, if you're trying to figure out your style, this might be more of a 2012, 2013 recommendation, but bear with me. If you're trying to identify your style as a gay woman, the easiest, if you're feeling lazy, the easiest thing is just to go preppy. It's just button-ups, a polo, sweater, jeans and loafers. It's like genderless. It goes either way. It's just an easy way. And I was mega preppy. Like, that's just such an easy style choice. So like, for a guy, he's like, that's irrelevant. I'm wearing the same thing that you're wearing. What, you know, like, you know, I'm just being preppy, not feminine, preppy.
That's interesting that you say that, because my one ex was like really into like the preppy aesthetic, and I just took it as like her being a little older than me and like, I don't know, just like being of a different like genre growing up. Like, I was a little bit more like emo and like alternative, and she was a little bit more like sporty and stuff, and she like was really into like preppy girls. But like, I could also see how that could sway into like the gay phenotype, so to see.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I know many friends. My little from my sorority is gay, and like, she leaned in. Both of us were like dripping in like preppy J. Crew.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go as far as Lily Pulitzer, but I was in the J. Crew.
Sperry's.
Yeah.
I had, like,
yeah.
You guys, I had like 30 pairs of Sperry's. I'm not.
Did you have duck boots?
Mm-hmm. Those are LL Bean boots.
I think so. Yeah, with like the rubbery toe. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This is like my whole East Coast closet. I swear to God, it was just like LL Bean, J. Crew, preppy, keep it sporty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I go through now like two styles. Like every day it's just like clean genderless sweatpants. And then whenever I go out, I feel like I'm morphed into like sophisticated lesbian. Like I'm really into blazers and like platform things because I'm 5'2" and my girlfriend's 6'2". And I don't know. I feel like the clothes that I wear are like genderless, but I don't know if preppy's not the right word, because it is, I don't know, but I still feel like men could business see bitch. The blazer and be like, yeah, almost.
like
I just came from a business meeting, except I work from home in my sweatpants.
Power dyke.
like slightly tailored stuff. Yeah,
or like oversized with like a small top, you know.
Love. Yeah.
Slutty,
yeah.
But taking up space.
Yes. I like that.
I like that too.
Thank you. I think a lot about fashion, so it's on my mind.
Love it. I like the Doc Martin platform. I just got loafers from Doc Martin, and I'm like never looking back.
The mules.
The mules.
I love the mules.
And just a good old Chelsea boot. It just like changes. It literally changes an entire outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's it.
It's
that's
like classy, comfy. Yeah, no, I feel you. Okay, so since you said your little's gay, you had this sorority that like somehow came out late. Not everybody, obviously, but like a bunch of girls later on realized.
Yeah,
I had a very similar experience where it's like in the beginning of college, none of us thought we were gay, and by the end, like only a couple didn't think they were gay, and we had someone send in, why is it that all high school friends were queer but none of us knew at the time? So I feel like this is like a trope. Do you have a theory of like why this happens, or like any commentary on this subject?
I hate to make this be like a fluffy answer, but like truly I think it's an energy thing. A lot of the ways I connected with like the gay girls from my sorority was sense of humor. Like we just thought the same things were funny, like consume the same things. It's also funny like to think about, I mean, the things that we adore are, like, not innately queer, I guess. But, like, SNL, Tina Fey, like, just, like, you know, just, like, the comedian side of things. So it's, like, their sense of humor feels like our sense of humor, et cetera. But it was really united by a shared sense of humor. And I think what we like to do for fun, like, being creative and things like that. I'm not here to make a statement that all queer people are creative people. But usually,
basically, if you're usually straight, you're not funny. is what we're talking
about. Yeah, but you could like tell like the divide is like how other people like their what was their world and focuses versus ours, and it felt very different. Like just the weekend agenda, what are we doing, like what type of where do we see ourselves after school. It's like a narrative that was just different.
So I don't, do you think that means like gaydar is based more in common interests and common like personality traits than we really think it is? Like I feel like we're like, oh, I know that person's gay, I can just like tell, but maybe it's because we're like seeing ourselves in them or like finding these commonalities. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, gaydar is based off of a vibe, and it's not visual or like context clues. Like to me, it truly is like a kind of just like an interaction, a vibe, and I can tell pretty immediately. I'd like to think that I have decent gaydar, but like my friend, so it's no surprise that we were set up to be friends by a old coworker of ours. Anytime someone's like, I need you to meet Carly, I'm like, this bitch is gay. I know she's gay. she gets on and she's long blonde hair like me. Like just like I'm like looking in the mirror and she's just like, when we met up for the first time, she literally skateboarded to meet up for coffee and like popped the board up and caught it. And I was like, hey dude, what's up? And I was like, okay.
Stop, because I might have gotten turned on. I would have been like,
Hi.
You look like me and you skateboard.
Oh my God.
But like, but the energy click there was like immediate. And like, and then I met like her now wife, and like, it was like instant. It was like, it felt like our friendship started on like chapter five. Like just, I was just like, we have been through similar or mirrored, you know, life experiences, and it felt quicker. But you know, I don't know. Cause you just don't always, and I think about myself in those scenarios, like, can you pass for being a straight girl? Things like that. Like most might not realize it, but you know, it can't just go off of optics. It's really just like, I just feel like there's a deeper something under the surface here, you know? Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask this when you were talking about Mexico, but do you ever refer to your partner as Al and people think she's a guy?
Or
and
Alan.
Then like she walks up. Yeah, I would be like, oh, Al all the time. And then like
Alan.
Al pops up.
Alan, my 54-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, Al, you're picturing this like bald hair, like yeah, stomach hairy man with like his like plumber's crack hanging out. Like Al.
Yeah,
I would. Totally
that has not happened yet. I feel like I call her out usually. Yeah. That would be hilarious, though. When people are like, "What is this dude on the beach?" You know,
that would be a good way to like, if you needed to, you know, like mask for a second in the straight world, be like, "Oh, my partner Al, definitely not short for Allie.
definitely
short for Alan.
Alan,
Alfonso is
Alfred."
So good.
I wanted to ask too, since you had said that you felt like you came out later, but I actually think in your timeline you came out earlier than Cheyenne and I did. Like, what do you consider late coming out, you know, like what is late in life lesbian?
Oh man, well actually it's probably because I'm so close with Carly. Maybe she's more of an anomaly. Carly like knew she was gay when she's like 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And she was like smooching girls and doing that stuff in like eighth, ninth, 10th grade.
I mean, we can't all be so lucky.
I know. I was like, okay.
I feel like you came out to yourself later. Like, I feel like you brushed away a lot of like clues and signs. And I feel like I kind of almost knowingly did that. Like, I was like, okay, that's a problem we're going to solve later. Like, I don't want to deal with that right now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to maybe put it. Yeah.
So maybe that's why it feels late.
Doing gay stuff early and acknowledged it later.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have advice you would give people who are younger and like either just coming out or just figuring out like something you wish you knew when you were younger kind of thing?
I think my biggest one is, and again, it was like media at the time and that being really limited, but thinking that it's like a one size fits all, like that's a lesbian, Ellen DeGeneres, call it a day. That's what being a gay woman is. That's it. Because it really is just, it's like so many different experiences and types of people and everything under the sun. I just feel like there just needs to be more open-mindedness to like, you don't see yourself in somebody else, don't worry. They're out there. There's a community. Just knowing that there's not this one size fits all mentality around being gay.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have any advice for queer people who are in sororities specifically?
Oh,
I'm
sorry,
sure we
like
listeners.
Totally just made this a sorority episode for you.
No,
I hope you're okay
I appreciate
with it.
I hope you, you know, use the clickbait of the title. Please.
We like we're all in sororities, so I'm sure we're not the only people
in this.
You know, there are other people who totally need this kind of advice and support, and absolutely. I just feel like it'll be helpful.
Yeah. Well, first off, I probably feel like Greek life is probably like so woke and progressive now that like I don't know. I just feel like I would hope. Yeah. I'm just like 2011 times were hard. But it's tough to make the recommendation to like try to find like your close friend or confidant because that could go haywire. I felt lucky to be able to have that. But I think if you're able to figure out a system to like just check in with yourself and like come up for air from time to time, I think that's really important. Like write down how you're feeling. I'm very bad at that, but I wish I did that at that time to just have like a paper trail of the mental chaos that was going on in my brain and just be like, okay, cool. I felt like that 3 weeks ago, still feel like that. excellent, great. I also think, I don't know, I don't want to speak for most campuses, but like there was always a group or a club or something like that at Syracuse, at least, that was like queer focused, or like there was, you could pursue nicher communities.
Mm-hmm.
And you should do that. Don't feel like the sorority is your planet and your world and your orbit. Go find people who are interested in other things, and that's where you'll find, like, you know, your queer mm-hmm. community there. Or sometimes you just need a break from that Greek life structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You gotta have a balance of like friends in clubs of different kinds, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's not real world. This is not real world. It's really helpful in real world when like you just have a network of people and you can mm-hmm. like, you know, use it that way. But yeah, you got to find people with other interests and keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where can any of our listeners find you if they want to find you on social media, if they want to go view this elusive jacket inside out video from years ago, if they want to go through all of your content?
Oh, wow. I'm at Hey Free Samples. My last name is Samples. At Hey Free Samples.
Thank you.
On TikTok and Instagram mostly. Yeah.
I will say that I really like that your videos are just kind of like generic comedy. Like I feel like a lot of people will be like, I'm gay, so I have to make gay content. And I don't feel like yours is like your girlfriend's in videos, so like obviously people could be like, this is a queer woman making content, but the joke isn't like a queer joke. It's a joke that everybody can kind of get in on, to mm-hmm. the point where like I have like straight friends who send me your videos and I'm like, ha, I'm interviewing her next week. Like I thought that was like so fun because it's just universal comedy, you know. I like that.
I appreciate that. I've definitely felt the pressure to like lean more niche, into like the, you know what I mean? And so there's a mm-hmm. place and time for it. I feel like I've done a couple, like what I just did of, you know, when a straight friend's like, wait, you have got to meet my friend Donna. You're mm-hmm. like, I know Donna's yeah. gay. Donna and I have,
her name's Donna.
Like Donna and I don't have a shred of anything to talk about besides the fact that we're both gay. But
yeah, maybe we can go to Mexico together, get some pussy.
Yeah, yeah. Smash cut.
Sorry, I had to call that back.
I'm in Tulum with Donna now. But literally, yeah, like I did like a bit like that. Like that's just a universal queer person experience. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's always stuff to make fun of, you know, lesbian yeah. relationships with. I'll just keep it coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you cool. so much. And our little sign off here, you can follow us anywhere on social media at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And you can send in any questions to us there, or you can send us an email, sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail, 724-209-8877. And if you want more, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And you can follow me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform. And with that, class is now dismissed.